Perek Tesvav, Seif Tes, Chapter 15, Paragraph 9. Ra'ayin HaTshuva HaShori Ba'odam Tomid. The thought of Tshuva that is constantly dwelling within a person. We saw this way back in Perek Vav. The Tshuva is always Shuri B'Leiv Ha'odam, that Tshuva, in one degree or another, Tshuva is always in the heart of a Jew. Just like we spoke back then about how tefillah, like Rav Kook writes in his introduction to the Siddur, that tefillah, the heart of a Jew, is constantly davening. Constantly davening. It's just that there are things that are covering, and we don't hear, we don't feel that tefillah of the neshama. Rabbi Siaka talks about in the parasha this a lot. That's the beginning. But the Rayin HaTshuva, the thought of Tshuva, is Shori Ba'odam Tamid, is sitting in a person's heart all the time. And this Rayin HaTshuva, even though the person is not practically, this particular person is not necessarily involved in any practical steps to live his tshuva thought lemaisa, but the Rayin HaTshuva Shoy Barim Tomid Hu Yesoid Kol HaMailas HaTayvus. This itself is the Yesoid, is the foundation of all of the Mailas of a person, of all of the Mailas of a person, of all of the greatness of a person. Again, even though the person isn't presently practically changing lemaisa, we don't see him necessarily making great steps forward, taking great steps forward in his life and doing tshuva. But the Rai in the tshuva, the possibility of tshuva, the fact that a person knows that he can change, is a gewaldige thing. Again, it could be used as a way of delaying change. That's something else. We're not talking about somebody who's Echtav Ashuv, you know, playing games. But the Rayin HaTshuva means, more important than anything, never to be misyayish. That a person always has hope. That there's always the possibility of change. That I could become different. Otherwise a person, God forbid, if the person's done something wrong, especially if he's done something really, really wrong, so he would be misyayish. And who hasn't done terrible things on his madrega or her madrega, things that shouldn't have happened and shouldn't have been done? If a person didn't live with the idea of tshuva, he would not be able to continue doing anything after that terrible failure. Most people experience at some point in life, better not, but most people do experience something that is totally out of character and is seen as something which is beyond anything that he or she ever imagined being capable of. In other words, not in a good way. A person would be misyayish. The next day you wouldn't want to put on tefillin, you wouldn't want to daven, you wouldn't want to, you would have no cheshek to learn, to continue. So how do we get up and continue, even if we haven't fixed that aveir? Well, we haven't fixed it. Because even though I haven't fixed it, the ra'ayon ha-tshuva, the thought of tshuva, sits in my heart. Sits in my heart. I have to be careful not to keep it on hold for so long, to try to bring it out lemaisa. But the fact that the rayon hatshuva, that the thought of tshuva, the fact that the thought of tshuva is dwelling in a person's heart, that's the sight of all milas tovus. The sight of all milas tovus. And the Rav Filber brings here the note that also we learned earlier, Rav Kook writes a lot about in the Sefer, that in general, as we've been learning a lot, the entire Metzius has a she'ifa for greatness. It's not just a matter of myself, my own little world, my own failures and shortcomings, not being Messiah, and being able to, and knowing deep inside of me that there's the potential for something better. But the presence of tshuva, the thought of tshuva itself, is a spark of the tshuva that exists in the world. That the world itself is evolving towards something great, something magnificent, which we were talking a little bit about this morning. That the world itself is in the process of improvement. Even though externally we see certain things that are frightening, but Bechlal, and Rav Kook wrote a lot about this, a lot. I was just looking at last night. They just printed a new. They have new Kisveyad. So you'd think that it would be finished. There were new notes that they printed from Rav Kook, that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Olav Shalom. There were some papers that they found that Rav Kook wrote in pencil. Papers that just came out yesterday. I got. So I didn't sleep last night. And he is on this Indian, this of Mason and Chassidus, all kinds of things with the Vilna Gaon and different things. And on this Indian, Rav Kook was believed so strongly in the improvement of the world that the world was really marching forward, even though on the surface, superficially, there are setbacks. But he says, but we can't imagine the ascent of civilization out of barbaric, primitive way of life, and the progress of culture, and of morality. Well, we just take it for granted because we, and then we get very upset because we see this immorality. We see in many ways the immorality that we see around us is it would be a laughing matter to the kadmainim, to the avodah zarah of what used to be in the old days. And So the fact that there's tshuva, the rayon ha-tshuva, the thought of tshuva that's in the heart of a person, is the spark, is a piece of that tshuva, the entire world that's marching towards Mashiach. It's a piece of that, and there's something pushing inside of a person towards becoming better. There's a rayon ha-tshuva, just like there's something pushing in inside the plant to grow, and there's something pushing inside the animal to move and to reproduce and to move forward, and there's something inside that's driving us towards something better. That toiv, that goodness is all generated, it's all coming from the Rayan HaTshuva, from that seed of tshuva, that motivates and pushes us forward together with the entire world and the entire universe towards perfection. So even though right now I haven't practically changed my life, but that I still have something that motivates me to get up in the morning. You see people that they go through certain things and you can't believe that they're able to get up. And today, you know, my daughter was telling me about somebody that she knows the different, you know, and you know, how does this woman get up, and how does she go and face the world and start again? And if you would ask her, she probably couldn't explain it herself. She's a mamina, she has a muna, but it's kaiches that are not from this world. Teretz says that there are kaiches that are from this world, that come from an earlier world. They come from before this world, like Rav Kook explained. They come from the tshuva shekadmal olam, that are higher than anything of this world. And that thought of tshuva, tshuva was created before the world. That means there's nothing of this in this world that can stand in the way of a person's hope that the next day could be better, that tomorrow could be better, that it could still be better, and therefore, I'm not Messiah. I might not be dancing and clapping. It's hard, but I'm not Messiah. I'm not giving up. I'm still on the program. That comes from the Rayin HaTshuva, the thought of Tshuva, not to give up. And it's the sort of Kol HaMailas HaTayvus. all Milas Taivis, because any effort to improve. See, tshuva, that's, if anything we've learned over these years, is that tshuva doesn't mean just, I messed up, let me try not to do that again. The Eretz Tshuva, the light of tshuva is so great, and it's so encompassing. And we learn the Sefer, we see it's all of Yiddishkeit. And the, when Rav Kook says that the thought of tshuva that sits in the person's heart is the site of all Milas HaTayvus, meaning that any desire that I have to, or hope that I have to improve my learning, my davening, my midas taivus, my shmiras ha'einai, my shmiras ha'lashon, whatever, ben lachavero, any mila that a person has comes from tshuva, or else a person would just get stuck. That a person moves forward, that a person improves, even though he would say, but I don't see any big tshuva, the guy's still doing that avera, you know, he's still. So that needs to be worked out, of course. But it's the aside, the thought of tshuva itself is the aside of all Milas HaTayvus. At the same time, Rav Kook continues, and we understand. That it comes together with a certain amount of fear and anxiety. That also is part of our lives. Hamachshava ha'atzbanis. To translate atzbanis, because the way they use it in modern Eretz Yisrael, they say atzbani means somebody that's nervous. Nervous, but Rav Kook didn't use it in that way of nervous. More, I think the word would be melancholy. Is that not depressed? Depression is already like. Very, very, it sounds already very deep. Melancholy. Hamachshava ha'atzbanis. There's a certain melancholy that comes with tshuva, with the thought of tshuva. In other words, while tshuva, on the one hand, is the source of hope and motivation, at the same time, because of what it is, it's the cause of a certain melancholy, because there is that recognition that I'm not there. Without tshuva, a person wouldn't think of the bigger picture of wanting to become great and wanting to get somewhere. He would just see this: I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm nobody. In fact, so. But no, this the person who lives with tshuva has some aspiration, has a dream of becoming better, of becoming greater, and lives with some sadness, with a certain sadness. Again, not depression, but a certain sadness that I'm just not there. I'm not there. But Rav Kook writes that this sadness itself, or this feeling, people who are not mekushar, people who are not attached to the depths of tshuva, they appear to us to be very happy people. Oftentimes they appear like very happy people. They look happy. Everything's okay. He has a job, he's got a house, he's got this, he's got that, whatever. Things are going okay. And people are satisfied their people are satisfied and happy with simple things. You could look at some kind of a guy, you know, a guy just like a simple, happy guy that works on some, you know, some work site, and he gets paid, and he, you know, he goes to a game, has a girlfriend, goes out occasionally with a couple of the guys, you know. Person like that, you can look at that person and you don't see that he lives with this sadness, a certain melancholy. Doesn't live with that. He's nice. Of course, it's hard to say, because one day he just jumps off the bridge or something. But most people are not like that. Most people are not like that. He could be happy, and he's satisfied with Hakol Revach, you know. I got an extra, the guy, my boss gave me an extra $50. Let me go spend it. See, Yontif, I'll have a good time. It's not, and that same could apply even to a higher level in the corporate world. There is such a thing. But a person who lives, a yid, we're talking about a yid, who lives attached to the world of tshuva, while it's the yisayid, while it's the foundation of all of his milas, because it pushes and drives and motivates, but at the same time, it's a constant reminder how I haven't gotten there yet. And there's a certain sadness. There's a sadness that causes in a person. Shabor mitarech hakeshel oimek hatshuva. So it doesn't mean nervous over here. Atzbanit, atzbanis, doesn't mean, the atzbanis that Rav Kook is talking about doesn't mean nervous. A certain sadness. Can't just let go. There's a certain sadness. Sometimes if you're a person zeichet to see tzaddikim, with all of the joy of the tzaddik, you see a certain sadness. You see it in the few pictures that we have of Rav Kook. If you look in his eyes, you see it in Rav Kook's eyes. There was always a sadness. A soft sadness. Not, God forbid, a depression, chalila, but a soft sadness in the eyes. And it's described about him too, in his demeanor. There was a certain gentle feeling of melancholy that surrounded him. And because the tzaddik is not only in his own life that he feels that it's not there, but he looks at the entire world. And he's crying about the entire world, and cries on the whole world. So, because the whole world has so much potential. But of course, Rav Kook writes right away, this itself is the source of joy. Why is it the source of joy? Baruch Hashem, that it hurts me. Baruch Hashem, that I have such a feeling that I'm not the person that I'm supposed to be. I'm not there yet. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem that I care that the world hasn't, that it hurts me that the world hasn't reached what it could reach. Baruch Hashem that if I come to Yerushalayim, and I look at Yerushalayim, and although it gives me such joy to be in Yerushalayim, it makes me so sad because I know this is not the way Yerushalayim is supposed to look. It's not the way Yerushalayim is supposed to be. So a person can say, wow, look, can I know her? Look how many shuls we have and how many yeshivas, and the frum community has grown so much. Can I know her? But at the same time, this is not the tzura of Klai Yisrael. And the sadness itself means that there's something great. There's something greater that you're expecting. As long as it doesn't chasam become depression or anger, that's already poison. But the gentle melancholy, that sadness, is itself, Rav Kook says, the source of joy. It's the makor hasimcha. It's the source of joy. I haven't given up. I haven't given up on Yerushalayim. I haven't given up on Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has so much more. Uri, Uri, Shir Daveri, Kray Hashem Alayich Niglu, Hisnari Mi Ofa Kumi. And a person who lives with tshuva knows that Yerushalayim is also in the process of tshuva. And as long as there's Chil Shabbos in the Eir Kodesh, as long as there's a Tumah on the Harabayis, and as long as it's not entirely ours with Mashiach Tzikeinu, it's not Yerushalayim that's supposed to be. So the fact that I'm filled with these hopes and with the anticipation of something greater, even though it causes sadness right now, because of reality doesn't live up to that picture, but it's also the source of joy. It bothers me, it hurts me. And because of that, it means I'm alive. Hatchuna hayesaydis shel hatshuva. The basic quality or disposition of tshuva Hi ha-hash-ara, the gadol ha-shleimus ha-elyona shel ha-elokus. It was the basic disposition of tshuva, of a person who lives in the world of tshuva, is the hashara, the awareness, the gadol ha-shleimus ha-elyona shel ha-elokus, an awareness of that great exalted perfection of godliness. That's what we're talking about. How great things could be. How great I could be. How great the world could be. How great Yerushalayim could be. Now that awareness of the infinite potential of a world that is godly, that awareness, again, while it's exciting, inspiring, and the source of joy, it also causes more pain. Umitoich kach ha'avonos boltim harde ma'od. And because of that, the sins, my own sins, and the sins of the world, are very conspicuous. Are very conspicuous. You understand? If there is this longing for greatness and perfection, then that makes the imperfections very conspicuous. If you're a very, very mediocre person, so I was talking about the individual who's satisfied, you know, with his mediocre job and his mediocre life and mediocre wife and mediocre whatever, that world of mediocrity. A person who lives in that place, and that's all that he has, could be happy. And there's nothing conspicuous about problems. So, if you ask him, but doesn't it bother you, like this whole thing going on in China and Tibet, you know, there's a... people are upset over there, they're getting killed. So, a couple of Chinese people, as long as I could still go to Yonkis or... whatever, I don't remember the names anymore. You know, the Chinese, the kosher restaurants. Just save a couple of Chinamen so I could have supper. Just save a few Chinamen for me. Sushi's Japanese or Chinese, I don't know. But as long as I can still have my egg roll, I don't really, there's no big nafkimina to me what's going on with Tibet and China. As long as I have my egg roll and fried rice, I'm happy. Or my daughter's bas mitzvah, we were going to have, you know, a Chinese guy, like, do something, you know, serve food or something. So it doesn't really make a difference to me. But that's not how a person who lives in the world of tshuva feels. It hurts that there are people in the world that are killing each other. People are basically good. It's very sad that these ugly things are being brought out because of, a million different factors, different things that are going on. It's a terrible sadness. So for the person who lives in that simple, uncomplicated, tshuva-less life, without tshuva, the imperfections of the world are not conspicuous. You understand? The imperfections are not conspicuous. Like we learned last week, a drunk person sees everything as being straight. Bump at the walls, fall over, trip over ditches. And by the shikr, everything is gleich. He sees the whole world as a mishur. But a person who's living in tshuva, he sees the potholes in the world. They bother him. He sees the potholes, and it bothers him that they should be filled. It bothers him that should be fixed. That the imperfections should be fixed. Of course, what should bother him more than anybody else's imperfections are his own. There is a tendency with people that people have to be very bothered by other people's potholes. Right? To be bothered by other people's imperfections. To notice how somebody else is talking during davening. But not that you yourself do that. So, and so on and so forth. From little avarice to big avarice. It's the nature of a person, unfortunately, to be particularly disturbed by other people's problems and imperfections, and for those to be especially conspicuous. But that's not really... that's not really that's not good. The person who lives with the Raya and Tshuva, he says, "Mitoich kach ha'avonos boltim harbe ma'od." The averus are very conspicuous. Now he brings a very familiar pasuk from Tehillim. I'm not going to ask anybody to translate it because it'd be very embarrassing. You say it all the time. It's one of those pasukim like you figure you'll get to one day. You say it every Shabbos, whatever. I'll get to it. So if you have the English siddur and you're ready, you know, one of those, you know, doing that, the English back and forth, so you already have it. But if you haven't, and you're a real Haimish Yid, meaning that you don't, you never really paid attention to what you're saying, so then you might not know what these words, what David Melch was telling us. But look at the pasuk. Shata avonoseinu le'adecha alumeinu le'or panacha. You say it every Shabbos morning, right? Shata avonoseinu le'negdecha alumeinu le'or panacha. It's really a very, very, very remarkable pasuk. Even with a simple pshat, without the mefarshim, just the simple pshat. Shata avonoseinu le'negdecha, you have placed our sins before you. Shata avonoseinu le'negdecha. In other words, the Rabbi Shalom, you have placed all of our sins before you. You see all of our sins. You have placed them all before you. They're all laid out before you, all of our sins. Shata avonoseinu le'negdecha. Alumeinu, our secret sins. Alumeinu, the secret sins, even those that we don't know about. Not just this. We don't even remember, we don't think about our secret sins that we hide from others, we hide from ourselves. Alumeinu l'maor panacha. Alumeinu l'maor panacha are seen in the light of your presence. Alumeinu l'maor panacha. So again, you have placed our sins before you. Shat avinusayim l'negdecha. Alumeinu, even our secret sins, are seen in the light of your presence. So you hear what Rav Kook, why he brings this pasuk. When a person feels the presence of God in his life, that's the Raya and Tshuva, then even the secret sins become conspicuous, because in God's light, there are no secrets. So even the little averilach, the ones that, you know, you didn't pay attention to, are bolting. They're conspicuous. They show up on the screen. They show up. They come out. They show up. I told this to you once, a few months ago, last year. Remember the kids, Chalamayit someplace, some kind of ride or something or other, but it was an indoor place and there was rides and things, and we were going, and when you come in there, I don't know, there was like an ultraviolet light or something, you saw all of the stuff on your coat. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know why they did that.
Black light.
Yeah. But I don't know why that was necessary for that thing, but I guess to make it like a certain, I don't know. But you went in, it was this ride, like to feel like you're moving and you weren't really moving, something like that. And when you walked in, so I looked, and I just had this from the cleaner, I don't know. I was dressed for Chol HaMoed. It was, you know, I was dressed nice for Chol HaMoed. And I looked at myself and I got all this stuff, all these, and I'm looking at everybody else, and it's my kids, everybody's got stuff all over them. It's pretty scary, because I guess we're breathing it all the time. Forget it, it's on the clothing. So of course I start going, I'm a dry cleaner's son, you understand. My wife always talks about that, because I'm a shigger with all these things. So I start, and no matter what, it's then you see your hand, you're like your fingerprints on your coat. So I was thinking about, of course I couldn't enjoy the ride anymore, because now I'm thinking about the pshat in this inyan. So that's what it means. It means alumeinu l'maor panacha, that when there's a certain light, when the Baruch Shalom gives you the ability to see with his light, the light and the light of his presence, everything becomes conspicuous. So then you see all of a sudden these little specks of good, and I'm totally, no, it's not, I'm clean. I have nothing, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm totally clean. I'm sorry. Then you take this thing, a bulb, and it's called God's light, Ma'or Panacha. And you turn it on to the person, and then he's covered from head to toe. From head to toe. With all kinds of stuff. That you don't see that in the sunlight, you don't see that in a room with bulbs or anything, but when you have the Ma'or Panacha Alumeinu, Alumeinu L'Ma'or Panacha, our secret sins become conspicuous in the light of God's presence. So when you don't live in the light of God's presence, unless you have really like a big, no, unless there's something serious going on your suit, you don't notice it. Everybody's checking their ass. But when you have L'Ma'or Panacha, Alumeinu L'Ma'or Panacha, it's an amazing pasuk. Alumeinu, all that's alum, that's hidden. It's only hidden because I don't have the light of Hashem shining on me. And therefore everything's great. So everything's fine. There's nothing to be worried about, nothing to be upset about. Because I'm clean. I'm not stained with anything. I'm fine. So it could be you said something to hurt a person's feelings, or whatever it might be, and you're fine. But L'Ma'or Panacha, but in God's light, there's a stain. There's a mark. That's what it means. So that hurts. So this is what's happening. Everything's happening at the same time. The simcha that I'm able to see these things and that I want more, and the pain of seeing myself and the world in God's light, and therefore noticing all of the acne and imperfections and pimples and bumps and potholes and so on that I would normally see. The Kevin Shemargishan. Now the Kol comes back and says, but because you're able to feel these imperfections, you're sensitive to them. Shahahargosha Shalachet. That the fact that you're able to feel the chait, like we're learning a lesson, that you're able to recognize the aveir, that you're able to feel it, that it's become conspicuous to you. That's encouraging, because the shahargosh shalachet b'chol oifen hi mitoich ha'havhokah ha'elokis al neshama. It's because of the divine illumination that's shining on your neshama. The X-ray, the light, that special light that's shining on you, that shows the bumps and the imperfections. So that itself is, the person thinks about it. Baruch Hashem. Imagine a person will go to the doctor and they take a special kind of a test, and I don't want to know. I don't know. Doctor said, I think we need to have a conversation. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. So then the other person says, oh, what is it? What did you find? And then they show you the certain things that they found. So, as a result of that test, with that light that they used in the laboratory, there are things that are unhealthy that have become conspicuous, that you were walking around with like a time bomb. And that, thank God, you went to the doctor, and the doctor did a test, and that light, it shows up that you have certain... there's certain things that, and you could, as Hashem, take care of it. But if you didn't know about it, so the whole world would rather not know. You know, without tshuva, a world without tshuva means a world without knowing. A world without knowing appears to be more cheerful, just like this person could be walking around with a time bomb, but instead of heading towards life, he's heading towards death. Hashem Yirachem. So, Rav Kook is saying that the actual feeling that a person has, that he's able to pick up now on the chait, that the chait, the sin, is now conspicuous in light of Hashem's light. L'ma'or panach, alumeinu l'mashatav nesen l'negdecha, alumeinu l'ma'or panacha. That hargosha itself, it comes from the fact that there's a divine illumination, ha'avhaka ha'elokis, the light of Hashem, that's shining on you. So even though it's upsetting because you see these imperfections, but at the same time, thank God that I'm living in the truth, and that could push me towards becoming greater, unless I, God forbid, just give up and so on. This thought itself, meaning noticing the imperfections and sins and so on, this itself fills a person with what? Gil, joy. Gil means joy. The Goydel Ein Sof, and infinite exaltation, Goydel, greatness and excitement. The chedvas hasimcha ha'atzilis, and the joy, the tremendous joy, noble joy, atzilis, the exalted joy, continues and increases. Listen to this sentence: chedvas hasimcha ha'atzilis haleches misgabaris. This exalted, noble joy continues, goes, and it increases. Yachad in dichus halev, together with the sadness of the heart. Shelavush hanefesh, that comes from the garment of the soul. So the joy, of course, the joy comes from the fact that the person understands, I'm living in God's life. I still have a connection to the Creator. It still bothers me. My affairs bother me. My affairs bother me. I feel bad if I said something that wasn't nice to that person. It bothers me. I have a hard time going to sleep, knowing that I hurt that person. That causes joy, because the person is still living in God's light, and therefore there's still a connection to the Creator. So that increases. Together with that pain and that melancholy and that sadness of the stuff that's showing up in God's light and of not being where I want it to be. Ha'omedes bedargas ha'tshuva. All of this is part of tshuva. All of this is what tshuva is about. Hamedes bedagas hatshuva. Hatshuva lefize. Hatshuva lefize. Mivia lidei geula bepratius. Rav Kook oftentimes makes a connection between tshuva and geula, which Chazal, of course, did. Chazal said that Gula depends on Tshuva. Tshuva lefizeh mivila de Gula beprotius. Tshuva, according to what we're learning, Tshuva brings to individual Gula, individual liberation and redemption. See, Pesach, how Pesach works. Now we're coming to this time of the year where you thought that your house was clean and then you find out that it's not. Right? That's what it is. You thought you had such a clean house. When you find out it's not as clean as it's not as clean as you thought. I'm not talking about the hotel goers, their houses remain dirty. I'm talking about the ones who clean for Pesach. you thought that your house, you thought that the people go to hotels, the house is clean. The house is Baruch Hashem, I have a clean house. There's just a couple of things lying around, and they put into cabinets. It's not a problem, because most of those people could afford to have a lot of help anyway. But the people, I'm terrible, it's cruel, right? I don't stop, I'm honest, relentless. I'm not going to stop until Mashiach comes, Bez Hashem. Then Mashiach will show how all of this was such a dimion. This whole thing was such a dimion. All the madrigas of the Yid come from cleaning for Pesach, what a Yid is. All the madrigas come from that. A person who cleans for Pesach, said, I didn't know what was going on by the side of the refrigerator. I didn't know what was going on. You go to the oven and you give a little spritz there, and then what's that coming up? Wow, you didn't know that your oven had all these scary things going on. Not the hotel goer, he just closes up the oven, says Afrelchen Yontif. He leaves, doesn't see that. So he comes back, the oven was clean when he left, the oven was clean, and he comes home, gosh, nothing, there's nothing. Everything is perfect, there's no stains, everything is clean. But the person who prepares for Pesach, he sees everything, everywhere he turns, everything he picks up. I thought this was clean, it's not clean. Alumeinu l'maor panecha, you understand? That's what it means. That's the avodah. You could say the pasuk when you're cleaning. Shat avnei seinu l'meyadecha, alumeinu l'maor panecha, Rabban Shalom. Shat avnei, all of my sins are clear to you. They're all laid out before you. Alumeinu, and I myself can see even my own hidden, that were hidden to me, l'maor panecha, when I'm in your light. And when a Jew is working for Pesach and cleaning for Pesach, he's living in God's light. He's in the world of tshuva. He's in the world of tshuva to make the world clean, to make the world better, which is just, of course, himself. Which is himself. No, I'm going to go to some place, and where I'm going, included in the $12,000 that I'm paying, they're also paid, 40 goyim to clean the kitchen or something. So you have a goy cleaning, not you. It's impossible to even the oimik of the depths of the insanity of what's happened to us can only be understood l'maor panecha, or else it's just if the tachlis is that I should be chametz free, so what's the nafkimin if I clean it if someone else cleans it? So let me pay the goy to do it. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is that I should clean the chametz and make the house chametz free and my heart chametz free. It would be good if you could pay the guy to do tshuva for you also, wouldn't it? That would be gewaldig. It would be gewaldig. They have different levels. They have tshuva tata, tshuva ilah. You can go. They can advertise. They'll advertise in the newspaper. You can do tshuva. You pay a guy $1,000, he'll do tshuva for you.
T-shirts.
Yeah. We're going to make more money. This is a shame.
I got it that
early. We're in this together. I don't have the capital, but I have the ideas. We got to work on this.
The Shabbos Goy t-shirt and the plastic shmorgas. We have a whole business plan going.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Can I ask somebody to do tshuva for me? Can I ask somebody to clean my house? Why can't I have somebody do tshuva for me? Someone could kash my oven, someone clean my house, someone could do tshuva for me also. I think the tachlis is to be a tzaddik. The tachlis is to become a tzaddik. Not to be a tzaddik. Because to be a tzaddik, we were before Hashem sent us in this world, we were tzaddikim. The Baruch Hashem sent us into a filthy world, so we should clean it. He sent us into filthy bodies, so we should purify them. That's what the Baruch Hashem did. He sent us into such a world that we should clean it. I'm going to pay somebody. I don't want to look at it. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to get down on your knees and to notice that there's this dirt and there's this dirt and there's that dirt. And why are you cleaning the dirt to say, Master of the World? I'm so much dirtier than the kitchen floor. There's so much more filth inside of me than in my oven. Alumeinu l'maor panecha. All of the tirdas and the tirchas of this time of the year are for the tachlis themselves. It's the tachlis itself to do the cleaning. not to be chametz free. Because everybody here knows that you do your best, and at the end of the day, you know for sure there's still stuff you couldn't get to. And you know what? It's okay. Because then you say, Erev Pesach, kol chamir v'chamir v'ikir v'shus, v'chzit v'lo v'chazit v'gat lo v'yate. The bottle of the Africa, right? I did what I could, Baruch Shalom. Kol chamir v'chamir v'ikir v'shus, v'chazit v'lo v'chazit, but I saw what I didn't see, al men l'mar panach. I looked. I did what I could. Only a person who cleans for Pesach can say that. I mean, I don't mean halacha. Of course, not halacha. You go to the hotel, you take your little bag with you, and when you're in Miami, you say, "Call chamir, chamir, the dishes." You have your 10 pieces. Look how hard I worked. I cut a piece of challah into 10 little pieces. Look, you can show everybody down in the lobby of the hotel. You have 10 pieces of challah, of bread. No, call chamir, chamir. Then, because then you, then when a yid worked the whole month, he's working in this, and then he comes Erev Pesach, he makes the B'dikas Chametz low, Erev Pesach, and then Erev Pesach he comes, and he has his little pekula, and he takes it out to the fire, and he throws it into the fire, and he says the Hirotz, you know, there's nothing sweeter on earth. So, but then a person throws up his hands and says, Rabbi, what could I do? I did what I could. Everything else that I couldn't reach, you take care of. I don't know how to do it. You take care of it. I can't do it. And the Bershom takes care of it. It's hefka ka'afad. I don't know. You clean, mamish, like there wasn't one sin in your life ever. That's how a Jew comes to the same. It's a person would never, ever give up cleaning for Pesach unless, God forbid, he's old and he's not well. I'm not talking, of course I'm not talking about somebody that can't. Because we'll never, ever, ever dream of giving up that dirt under the fingernails and the smell of the chemicals and the fire and the Pesach, Erev Pesach, to give that up, and the schwitz of kashering and putting into the and the Hagolas Kalim, a person's kashering for Pesach, kashering. And everything comes out of the kalem, and everything comes out of your pores, all the filth that you accumulate in life. It's not worth ten. Not that your people pay to go away. But it's not worth the $10 million. And there's no language that was created in the world that could explain this. I can't explain it to my own children. How come we can't once go? I can't explain it to them. There's nothing. I can't say these words that I would pay that money to be able to clean for Pesach. No, it's so hard. I would pay for that. Not that to pay someone to do it for me. I would pay someone else. I should be able to take it for myself. What that means. To go Erev Pesach until after those weeks, and especially the last week before Pesach, until finally it's Erev Pesach and you walk to do Bir Chametz, and everything is not just the hidden, it's dirty and smells and everything, your hands are rough, and that feeling of Erev Pesach, and you come to the Seder like that. Come to the Seder, Halach Ma'anya, the Achalu HaVasayvah. I don't even know how could a person come, if they're going into a plane, or taking a car ride, and going walking to some place, and I don't even know how it's possible. There's a shaykh. But that's there's the pain and the joy. Of course, it's hard. But only a person who's lemor alumen lemor panacha. Yeah, you see the dirt, it hurts, but you clean it. You do the best you can, and whatever you can't clean, that's not your business. You try, you can't clean it, then you say it's all. You clean it. I can't clean it. I tried. I can't. I rubbed. I can't get to it. I tried and it's not coming out. That's not my union. It's not my union. That's the Rosham's union. It's not my union. Mitarcha behirus alakus shem alakis shem esgeberes bekirbay. And with this clarity, with this godly clarity that's becoming stronger inside of him, the light, lamor panacha, nigol ha'odim mikol shibud. You see how Pesach this is? A person becomes redeemed from all slavery. from all enslavement. From the foreign kaychas that dominate his life. All the chametz that dominates our lives. The things, the dirt that dominates. And it's not only for the person himself. The entire nation. The entire community of Israel. Haklal kulay, b'yayis ha-muchim la-hargish es-rayin ha-tshuva, the more ready we are to feel this feeling of tshuva, to live with the thought of tshuva, miyad hu-nigal, even though you haven't changed yet, you already have, even though you're not there yet, it's not Pesach yet, you already experienced gula, there's already a redemption. Miyad hu-nigal, there's a redemption that's already. That comes from the shining, that clear light, that clear godly light, hashofaras alav, that's pouring upon you. Yachad im harayin shel tshuva, together with this thought of tshuva, it's already miyad. Rav Kook says, miyad hu nigal, you're already redeemed, even though you're not finished. Even though there's a long way to go till you're clean. But miyad hu nigo, you're already not a slave anymore. The biggest slave is the one who thinks that everything is clean. And really his life is dominated by filth. Damas, he's dominated by filth. When you, even though it hurts to see the dirt, but the fact that you see it means that you're living in l'mor panach, alumein l'mor panach, and that there's hope that it could be cleaned. And therefore, miyad hu nigal. There's already a redemption. In that, there's already, a person's already liberated. By that, already, there's a liberation. There's a gula. It's already there. So Hashem as well should help. It should only be the beginning of gula. It should be the sofa gula mamash.
Amen.